is Jim Spiriot's March 15th, 2012, forward operating base, Edinburgh, Helmand Province, Afghanistan. I'm with a gentleman that I've flown a few missions with as a passenger. Please tell me your name, sir.
CW3 Joshua Jacobson.
Mr. Jacobson, you're from Minnesota, right?
Yes, sir.
And we've had lots of good conversations. How long you been in the Guard?
Been in the Guard almost 16 years now.
And is this your full-time job, or do you do something else in the meantime?
This was my full-time job. I was the lead pilot for the counter-drug program in Minnesota, and that has since gone through some changes. So right now I'm unemployed other than this deployment.
So when you go home, you don't have anything to go back to unless something opens up. Is that right?
Not job-wise, but I have a beautiful family to go home to, and that's what I'm looking forward to.
Very good. Tell me a little bit about your family.
I have a wife. Her name is Ann Jacobson. We've been married for just over 5 years now. Got married just before my last trip to Iraq. And I have a almost 10-year-old son named Elijah.
Very good. Congratulations. So you've been deployed before. Which deployment is this for you? How many have been?
This is my second, sir.
And little different between here and Iraq? Do you want to draw some comparisons, some differences?
It's a lot different. When I went to Iraq, I was an assault pilot, flying Black Hawk still, but we went out and did a lot of equipment and troop movement. And in Iraq, I lived on Balad, which was essentially comparable to a large city as far as amenities, and everything you wanted was right down the road. Large PXs, all the restaurants, coffee shops, everything. This has been an entirely different deployment, not only doing the medevac mission, but amenity-wise, this is definitely makes you miss home.
Have you been to all the locations here in, you know, that you guys service, not only Edinburgh but the others as well?
I've been to 3 out of the 4.
And which one do you enjoy working at the most?
I'll tell you the truth, that as far as enjoy working at, it'd be Edinburgh right here.
Talk to me a little bit about Edinburgh, what goes on for the listeners that don't have a clue what's going on here. Tell me a little bit about this mission and what it is you do on a daily basis.
As far as what I'm doing, I'm a pilot command and instructor pilot, flying the Black Hawks and the medevac mission. The thing that I thoroughly enjoy about Edinburgh is the mission always comes first, and not saying it doesn't anywhere else, but it is a higher op-tempo place. You rarely go a day without a mission, which one makes the time go by a little quicker, but you're never not out there helping your fellow troops on a day-to-day basis.
This is kind of unique, where the Army supports the United States Marines, and it appears to me in my time here you have a really good working relationship with the Marines. Talk to me a little bit about how that works out.
It's been a different experience because the Marines do things differently, but I think the reason it works so well is everybody's here for the same purpose, and we don't differentiate by branch as to how we're going to go help somebody. They're a brother and a sister in a uniform, and we're going to go out and pick them up as soon as we absolutely can. And really, it doesn't change with any of the other people we service around here. It's the same way with the coalition forces, the ANA, as well as locals that get hurt. You've been flying with us long enough. When a Cat 8 comes down, a Cat 8 comes down, and you just go do the mission and worry about who they work for later.
About the mission, we see some incredible things go on in the back. Your medics and your crew chiefs are phenomenal, and your flight nurse as well. And at the end of the day, we all know what you've done. You've carried some extremely severe injured personnel, both Marines and ANA soldiers, as well as even some of the locals and even some bad guys. How do you reconcile all that at the end of the day and move forward?
You always keep your mission focused, and I don't know that anybody really does a whole lot of reconciling until they get home. You don't have a chance to think about it too much, and if you can do it, it can mess you up. But in all honesty, as far as the pilot thing goes, we are all very capable pilots, but I keep my eyes forward. I fly the aircraft. That's my one and only job. I may get a glimpse of a patient going to and from the aircraft, but pilots have it really easy compared to the guys in the back that are seeing and dealing with the patients on a daily, sometimes an hourly basis. But as far as the reconciliation of it, there's a little bit you go through while you're doing the mission, but you maintain focused on it, and I think after the deployment is when you really take the time, whether you want to or not, and sit down and start dealing with some of the emotional aspects of the job.
Let's talk about actual flying conditions. I've been on a few missions to where it's just ugly air outside, and it's just definitely, you know, not the most artistic place on some of these days. Sometimes we have to fly low level and everything. What part of your training has prepared you the best for this type of flying?
You know, I don't know if you ever, outside of flying in weather like this, it's hard to train for it. Now we train in adverse conditions back home as much as we can. We go out and do a lot of instrument flying, and we do a lot of scenario based training with our pilots and our crew chiefs and our medics. But there's really nothing that can get you ready for any of the dust that you fly around and the landings that we do in the assault world. Outside of a couple of landings I had that were extremely dusty, I've seen nothing like this. And you throw the wires that are all over the place in there, the enemy, when they want to come, the closest thing in Minnesota we have to this dust is snow, which actually is a good trainer for dust landings. But outside of scenario-based stuff and just trying to mimic the conditions a lot, there's really nothing you can do to really fully train for the environment once you get here and see it.
We all know that you're kind of in the fourth quarter here, and you're going to be going home soon. The next group is coming in to take over. What piece of advice would you have to the next Mr. Jacobson that's going to be taken over, so to speak? What would you tell them that they might not get told in their training?
You know, the big thing is, I think, and it's probably something that they talk about, and it's not necessarily a technique or a flying aspect or anything like that, but again, it's going to be what these guys have heard, but you don't realize until you get here, it's keep an eye on your buddies and watch them, because especially these guys in the back, they're amazing guys, and the level of care they give rivals anything. But the stress of this environment gets to you, and just even living out here day to day, you know, not being able to walk down the street and grab a coffee or something, it's that kind of stuff that starts to drain on you, and you get tired. Even in days that there may be a day that you didn't fly a mission, which happens, but you just get tired of the environment.
We know that the hot weather's coming, and you've been here through the summer. What do you tell the next guy about hydration and flying and all this kind of stuff? This is probably some of the hottest places I've surely ever been in previous trips. The guys from Minnesota that don't usually get this type of weather. What are you going to tell them when they get here?
Well, you know, first thing, it's kind of funny you mentioned that, because training up down at Fort Hood, they made a pretty big to-do about how us Minnesotans don't know what heat is. And unless you've been up to Minnesota in August when it's 110 degrees and 100% humidity, we get the heat up there, but there's nothing that compares to the heat out here that I'm used to, and you drive forth. I mean, I'm a coffee drinker, and I drink coffee when it's 120 degrees out. I drink coffee when it's 20 below, but you change up how you do things a little bit. Instead of one cup of coffee to one bottle of water, when it gets hot out, you're going to do two or three bottles of water to your cup of coffee. But yeah, obviously, it's just they got to keep the hydration in, and again, it goes back to taking care of each other and watching for the signs.
Before we close, what's one thing you'd like to tell everybody stateside or in Minnesota about your experience here before you get home?
Just that I'm very proud of the guys that I've flown with, and to see a unit from three different states come together and cross the hurdles they have and work as a unit and done the amazing things we've done out here. You know, that's the biggest thing is just the days that we go by with these missions and the care we've helped and the soldiers we've helped, that's the biggest thing. I'm really proud of everybody that's been here.
One final question. Have these guys from New Mexico taught you anything about green chili?
Well, they have. I'm not sure exactly when to use green chili and when not to, but I know it's
just
like,
all the time. We just
I liken your green chili to ketchup and ranch dressing in Minnesota. You put it on everything.
Mr. Jacobson, it's really been fun speaking with you. I really enjoy flying with you. Thanks for what you do, and enjoy your time when you get home.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
This is Jim Speary, March 15th, 2012, forward operating base, Edinburgh, Helmand Province, Afghanistan.